ago that things are beginning to shift in the world of Trump hate. And I'm telling you, it's continuing and manifesting itself ever more so evidently. Sam Murjofsky here, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. 800-222-5222 is the number here if you'd like to be on the program tonight. Also, my email address is available to you, sam@samnation.com. I love to hear from you, and if you have something you want me to talk about on air, email me. I will be checking my email periodically through the program. Well, it's not just the Kathy Griffin thing. If you've missed it, so-called comedian Kathy Griffin. It was a photo shoot that she did for her Instagram account, and she, I think, a fairly realistic looking severed head. It was sort of a coming out jihadi moment for Kathy. And the head was quite obviously that of President Trump, had his signature do, and was covered in some syrupy fake blood. No word on it if it was edible. I bring that up only, it's fake blood. I don't know. She's got it. It's not ketchup. I don't know. But it looked very realistic. It freaked out Trump's kids, especially Barron. Heard that he was looking at it. You know, his dad's presumably not in the room, and he thinks it's real. I don't know, but it is. Here's what is most important about the Griffin story and the Trump head. It's not her non-apology. It's not what happened after the fact. Two things. One, it's not the same type of mistake or error in judgment that occurs when, I don't know, a radio guy who's on air 3 hours a day, 25 years, says one wrong thing. You know, radio shows and even TV to a large extent is not scripted. So you're talking, I don't want to give you too broad of a peek behind the curtain, but we're talking here, you know, speaking from my head. This is not something that is rolling on a teleprompter. So occasionally you'll say something, you make a blooper. But this thing, this Trump head took some time to create. I mean, don't you think? She didn't just pull it out and say, oh, here. She thought that this was okay. I don't know. Somebody, I think, in the New York Post, was it Podoritz? I don't know, but the great point was, in her world, this was a great idea. This was okay. And it of course, because it, you know, you saw the condemnation. I mean, even committed anti-Trumpists were left aghast. And the simple reason for it was is it went too far. And I've been telling you this. This is the anti-Trump left is taking everything too far. And eventually there will be not only a fatigue setting in where rank and file Americans, people who aren't necessarily political, may not even like Trump, may not have even voted for Trump. But keenly right there, most importantly, they're not devoted ideologues, are going to be worn out from this barrage of anti-Trump rhetoric and doomsday headlines, right? This is why the Democratic Party, for example, starting to really back off this whole Watergate thing, an impeachment thing. It's just there's not enough there. The allegations lack enough substance to be carried long term, and allegations can only... No, not allegations. Accusations. That's the better word. Accusations can be carried on outrage and on exaggeration for only so long. I mean, hot air will keep a balloon up only for long enough until the hot air cools. And what we are witnessing right now, mark my words, is a cooling of the rhetoric. And it's because people are realizing that the American public is slowly not buying it anymore. As Americans, I think this strongly. You know, we as a country, we're not malicious people. And we're not jealous people either. We're not, you know, we as a country tend to be, compared to other places that I've visited personally, we're good-natured. We want to default to treating our neighbors right. And we don't always like our politicians. Many times we downright loathe them. But there's a line, right? There's a decency line. And the greatest irony of this whole thing, I got to tell you this because this will be studied in textbooks in years to come. Well, who knows what kind of textbooks they'll be writing in years to come. But, well, if Amazon is determining what's written in textbooks, it'll all gloss over all this anti-Trump nonsense. But no, because here's the thing, ideologically. The most incredible thing here is that the left is accusing the right. Well, the anti-Trump left is accusing the pro-Trump right of exactly what it itself is perpetuating. Let me give you one example. These anti-fascist protests, it's called Antifa for short, if you're wondering what it is, armed many times, but certainly violent gangs of anti-Trump, I don't know who they are. One of the guys was a college professor. So they're not just college students. But for the most part, they are people that don't have, you know, real jobs like you and I and are showing up to these protest marches. And they'll show up at a pro-Trump event and they start beating up protesters. Now, I don't know where I'm coming from. I heard nothing but violence at Trump rallies, violence by Trump people, Trump inciting violence. That was basically the entire theme of at least one of the campaigns against Trump when he was running for office, right? I mean, this guy's inciting violence. He's a fascist. He's a thug. You know, they're beating up people at his rallies. And when you consider the thousands upon thousands of people that attended Trump rallies over the course of the entire campaign, I mean, how many actual acts of violence were there? And by the way, the Democrats got caught red-handed agitating those protests. They were paying. Remember the undercover video that surfaced during the campaign? They were paying people. They were paying felons in some cases to show up at these Trump rallies and to start picking fights with people so that Trump supporters would be baited into a physical confrontation, which could then be exploited to advance this narrative. No, there were two Democratic Party hacks that lost their jobs over this. And yeah, it was the Project Veritas guy that they captured the whole thing on film. O'Keefe is his name. This is a once huge example of the pot calling the kettle black. I was watching Fox last night after the show. I got home, put my feet up. I'm taking in a little bit of Fox, seeing what did I miss during the day. And I don't miss much, but they had, I love this, they had the guy, the lawyer that is defending that one anti-fascist protester. Happened to be that professor guy I was telling you. Remember, this is the guy who is wearing, what is he? He's wearing some sort of a black face mask or bandana. He's got his face covered. If you watch the video, it all happens in a split second. But basically, there's shouting going on between two sides. And I'm presuming one side is Trump, the other side is anti-Trump. Fine. Okay. It's Berkeley. This is what happens. People are shouting at each other. So then what happens is out of nowhere, and you got almost have to watch the video to really catch it in the moment. But this Eric Clanton guy, this is the El Diablo College professor. This guy just whips out a giant bike lock and smashes one of the Trump people in the head and cracks his head open. He's got blood everywhere. Anyway, so his lawyer is on Fox. And this was good. So he's getting asked, I think it was Tucker, right? He's getting asked, now look, you talked to the judge today. And you were trying to explain this, and your explanation that you gave, you said, well, look, people were saying, now this is what the lawyer was saying, who's representing the thug. The lawyer was telling the judge, you know, as an excuse, right, for his client's behavior. He says, look, people were saying unpleasant things. As in, people on the Trump side were saying unpleasant things to the anti-Trump people. And Tucker, of course, goes, what the heck does that have anything to do with the assault, with the battery? Well, how is that relevant? And here's what he says. Listen to this.
I think there was a lot of anger at the demonstration on April 15. These all-right people were using Nazi and KKK salutes, waving a flag that has Nazi and KKK symbols on it. People didn't like that. They was yelling back and forth. What happened beyond that, I think, needs to be proven in court.
Okay. We're going to put the video on the website. By the way, I looked at a number of videos that way. I never accept any premise of what these leftists say. That's the first rule of thumb in playing the leftist game. You never accept a premise because most of their premises are total BS. Like the fact that there were people waving Nazi flags and yelling Nazi slogans. It actually takes so little to trigger a liberal. You don't need to, you know, recite chapter verse from Mein Kampf. All you need to do is, you know, is shout. Well, you saw I got to get to the Texas thing. You just got to say, I'm going to send an ICE, and you get them all pissed off. Well, I'm serious. That's what happened. I'll get to that next segment. But here, this guy, okay, let's just humor the lawyer here for a minute and accept his premise. I'll tell you a lawyer's perspective. I don't care if you come up to somebody and say the most vile thing that you know the other person will find offensive. The thing that comes out of your mouth could be deliberately intended to antagonize and cause the other person to be agitated. That does not give you any kind of legal excuse to batter the other person, to hit him, to hurt him. I'm sorry, it's not how it works. I'm pretty sure it's not our system. And that's the argument. Let me tell you, this is exactly the argument that the left is using over and over again to justify violence against Trumpists, right? They say these people, what they stand for is so vile. It's so beyond the pale that they don't even deserve the protections of common decency and the law. It is this way. It absolutely is. That's where, by the way, this Griffin thing just fits in. You know what what Kathy did, you know, by putting, severing, you know, taking... It's not funny, of course. It's not funny. But what she did is she showed that in her bubble, in her world, it was okay and funny. It seemed like a great idea. And it presumably took, at a minimum, days to prepare that. And oh, by the way, there were other people involved in it, right? Somebody had to make the head, and she had a photographer there who's some famous guy. And she probably had her friends, you know, saying, oh, that's going to be hilarious. Oh, I cannot wait. I mean, and what normal person living in normal real world would think that a sever, you know, not forget even the whole ISIS thing, which opens a whole separate bag of sensitivities. No, that the response to it shows that there is fatigue with Trump hate, and it's a turning point in the way that we deal with the president. Mark my words. Okay. Texas is a great example. I'll get to that next. Sam Rogowski, back right after this.
Say, what is it? You know what it is.
790,
790, 790. KABC. Sam Rogowski. Well, back. And I've got a... This is a great story. This happened yesterday in Austin, Texas. And, well, of course, these types of things happen in Texas, naturally. But apparently, what happened was is that there was some sort of a spirited debate on the floor of the Texas legislature. And in the gallery during this debate were a series of protesters who were, I would say they were advocating for illegal immigration. Because several of them held up signs that said something to the effect of, we are illegals and we are here to stay. And they were making so much noise that I guess one, now who was this? His name is Rinaldi. He's a House member of the Texas legislature. Matt Rinaldi. He finally had had enough, and he calls ICE. He calls immigration, federal immigration officials to come round the people up. You know, because they're holding a sign they're holding a sign saying, I'm breaking the law. So that's what he did. Called them in. And when he told a Democrat from his, I guess there's another guy there. See who his name is Navarez, Poncho Navarez. This Navarez guy became so incredibly agitated that he literally charged at Rinaldi, knocks him to the floor and starts pummeling him. He tells Rinaldi, I'm going to follow you out to the car and I'm going to. Bunch of expletives deleted. Well, this is Texas, of course, and so the Republican guy, Matt, what's his name again? I can't keep all this straight. Rinaldi, yes, Rinaldi, he says, well, look, I got a concealed carry permit, I got a gun, and I'm gonna put a bullet in your head if you do that. So here's how it's being represented in the news, right? Republican Matt Rinaldi in Texas threatens to put a bullet in the head of Poncho Navarez. Now, here's the difference. When I was telling you about the protest in Berkeley, where you have people yelling at each other, one side is yelling their nasty opinion, the other side is yelling their nasty opinion. Fine, there it is. And somebody doesn't like what they hear, and they crush the guy's head with the bike lock. That's literally an act of physical violence with strictly verbal provocation. But here you've got a guy, right? I'm the Republican guy. I get knocked to the floor, right? This guy attacks me, becomes so just enraged. Can't even use his words. Attacks me, pummels me, throws me to the ground, then threatens to follow me out to the car. I'm going to say, yeah, do that, and I'm going to use force against you. And that's what's being reported. Anyway, point in all of this is, you know, I'm at a loss of words. Whatever happened? No, because you know what? That Democrat in Texas thinks that he is so right and that the Republican is so repugnant for calling ICE. You know, this immigration thing is getting a lot of tempers up. But he thinks, right, Pancho Navarez thinks he's so right in his opinion that it justifies violence against the Republican. Do we need a little, you know, this reminds me of is a, we have the song, Mr. Rogers. Do you remember him with the, with his feelings song? Play the tape, Robbie.
What do you do with the mad that you feel when you feel so mad you could bite? When the whole wide world...
This is what the Democrats need to be listening to. This is what they need to be... This is what they need to be listening to.
What do you do?
Do you punch a bag or your opponent?
Pound some clay or something.
Pound some clay?
Do you round up...
This is it, right here.
A game of tag?
All right. What do you do with the mad that you feel? Oh, Mr. Rogers. Where's him? Where's Mr. Rogers when you need him? It's turning around, folks. I'm telling you, it's turning around. All right, we got John Wolf up next with the news, and we'll be back right after that.
Talk radio, talk radio. 790 KABC.
And Sam Rejofsky here, Sam Nation, live from the Sweet James Studios on the right side of the Orange Curtain. And we are happily and enthusiastically making radio great again. 800-222-5222 if you want to be on the program. And I, oh my goodness, Twitter, someone called me a Soros puppet on Twitter. WTF, preceded by a hashtag. Yeah, we had to correct that. Pretty quickly. And of course, Trump tweeted last night about 12:30. What did he say? He tweeted. Oh, where do I have it? The new word. Despite the constant negative press, COFEEF, spelled COVEFEFE. And you know what? The Twitter sphere went nuts. I mean, they're trying to figure out what this COFEEF word means. He meant coverage, right? I mean, that's what it is. And then Trump himself, he kind of poked some fun at it. And then I think later he deleted the post. What did he say? He said, "Who can figure out the true meaning of COFEEF? Enjoy." Best response to it came from Ted Cruz, who wrote COFEEF. Hard to say, but I hear Al Franken's new book is full of it. This actually raises a very interesting point about Republicans. Because if Ted Cruz really wrote that tweet, that is funny. That is good material. I'm no comedy expert. You know, apparently someone thought that Kathy Griffin's thing was funny, but whatever. That's how little I care about this woman. But at any rate, Republicans always, like, look at Ted Cruz. This is a funny tweet. But they, when they run for office and campaigns, they're so stiff. They're so wooden. Remember when Bob Dole ran for president? And the guy was, he was like a board. You literally could have gotten more jokes out of a piece of plywood. And then after the election was over, my God, he turned into a totally cool dude. I have a great personal example of this. Well, personal, I'm borrowing it from my long-suffering wife, who Romney fits in this category too. Right. When he ran for president, the guy was starched. He was stiff. He was running against cool guy Obama. And I was so sick and tired of hearing this whole shtick about Romney, about how out of touch and aloof and uncaring. And what a stiff guy. Romney put a whoopee. I'm just going to tell you right now. Romney put a whoopee cushion under my wife one time. It's a true story. She went to visit them, and he actually he's a funny guy. This was before the election, way before, and yeah, he slipped a whoopee cushion under her chair. He plays practical jokes, and then that came out, of course, after the election. You know, the pressure's off, and everything goes, you know, gets relaxed again, and true personality comes out. The reason for this, of course, you've got to know the reason. And it's because when you are running for office, you have so many people in your ear telling you what to do, how to do it, how to act. I get a little bit of that doing a show. Trust me. A lot of people telling me how to do it. And it can get a little bit, you know, it can get a little bit obnoxious. Not that I don't appreciate good advice, but you got to know what to tune out, too. And that's what makes a successful candidate. And this is what I'm getting at. Reagan wasn't like this because he was his own man. He could figure it out. And he kind of pushed his advisors off to the side. And so did Trump. Trump being Trump works. And that's what he needs to keep doing and pushing all these people that are in his ear off to the side. All right. We have more fun in just a few minutes straight ahead. Back after this.
Talk Radio. 790
KABC. 5, 6, 5, 6, 7. Sam Rujovsky here. There's a video making the rounds today on the internet about a driver in China who decided to reverse his vehicle in the fast lane of the Shanghai Expressway. Now, I looked at this video, and it's actually true. A car in the fast lane on a freeway backing up. I don't know why. I see this kind of stuff in Irvine where I live from time to time. No. That was uncalled for, Sam. I apologize. But listen, people do crazy things on the road. They do. You're driving along and you think they're going to do something normal and they don't. They do the opposite of normal and they cause an accident. And now what? You're hurt. Your car's a wreck. You don't know what to do. You need a rental car. You call their insurance company. And that's where you've just made your first mistake. Because their insurance company's not going to help you. They just want to save money. Don't go down that road. Instead, get somebody in your corner that will help you. Get a lawyer. And make sure that lawyer is the lawyer we trust here on the program. None other than sweet James Bergner himself. He's easy to talk to. He'll help you. He's honest, trustworthy, will take care of you and guide you through the process. Make it easy, plain and simple. His phone number, easy to remember, 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. Keep it handy. Keep it in your back pocket. Also, visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right. Speaking of Trump's co-fief, did you see that missile launch? I guess we sent up a dummy missile. Don't know what made it a dummy, except that it was to resemble in its path, in its trajectory, its speed, a North Korean missile. So I presume we took all the data from these launches that we've been following very carefully. And we made our own North Korean missile in about 5 minutes. Now, I don't know how long it took us, but we made one and we fired it. And the key thing is we were able to intercept it. Shazam! Gets shot down out of the sky, plummets to the earth. Everybody is clapping. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's a successful form of countermeasures. Now, my thought is, you know, Trump can do that to a North Korean missile. He's got to do this to all this propaganda coming out of the mainstream media, right? You know, something for the Washington Post and the New York Times. And does he do it on purpose? I don't know. Is it part of a brilliant plan or was he just really tired late at night and did his fingers stumble? But the whole world spent today talking not about anything of substance, But Paris Climate Accord that Trump wants to bail on, they didn't talk about. No, everybody was talking about the tweet. I mean, if it was intended, it was the single greatest countermeasure launched by a sitting president. That was brilliant. I don't know. I don't think so. I think it was just a mistake. But a lot of what Trump does is deliberate. And I've told you that and especially using Twitter. He trolls people and he's got a mastery of it. And this goes back to what I was saying about Romney and Dole and Cruz during the campaigns, how they're so stiff. They've got everybody telling them what to do, what not to do. Trump's doing his own thing and it's working. And I know if you saw the story, Michael Bloomberg, right, former mayor of New York City, billionaire, founder of Bloomberg News. And he's an independent, but really he's a Democrat. He's a giant Democrat. And he supported Hillary Clinton and was a big anti-Trumpist. What did he say? He said, hey, there's a 55% chance that Trump is headed for re-election. That's what he said today. And the reason for it is pretty simple. The Democrats don't have a message. He said that in 2016, that their message was, meaning the Democrats, vote for Hillary because she's a woman and the other guy is bad. And now what's their message? Trump's an evil, horrible monster. Human being sucks. You know, he's got no humanity. Tin man. Nothing in the shell, right? No heart. But what is their campaign platform? What have they got? And the answer is a whole lot of nothing. I'll give you another example, though, of how the Democrats are the pot calling the kettle black when we come back right after this.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
Oh, I'm dying. So Kathy Griffin, so-called comedian, who had posted those photos of Trump's decapitated head, drenched in blood, got dumped by CNN, and now has also been removed as the pitch woman for the company called Squatty Potty. Now, you know, this is where now you know you've really hit rock bottom. Because the only other pitch a person that I'm aware of for Squatty Potty is a cartoon unicorn that is literally pooping into ice cream cones. So they had a pooping unicorn and Kathy Griffin. and now they're just back to the pooping unicorn. She can't even. Yeah, I can't do this. There's a serious story here, which is that they pushed the anti-Trump envelope so far until it blew up. It just blew up right in their faces. They, you know what? If these people had just listened to this program and heard me, you know, we talk every night. I tell you this, and you know what I'm saying, because you know we're on the same page. Maybe you don't even people who don't like Trump think that it's gone too far. That's the real story here. And speaking of the pot calling the kettle black, as it is with the whole Antifa protesters, you know, people protesting the violence of the anti-Trump left are more violent than any of the Trump people. Can't talk about that, though. No. Well, I can. I do. But, you know, this whole broken narrative on this whole fake story, fake news thing about Trump and the Russians hacking the election, colluding to steal the election away from Hillary Clinton, kind of the way Hillary and the DNC colluded to steal the election nomination from Bernie Sanders. I'm just saying, But the real story, the interesting thing, today, USA Today is what I mean to say. I know that's complicated. But anyway, USA Today ran a story today. There we go. Was Obama administration illegal spying worse than Watergate? Bam! This is it. This is exactly the nightmare that the Democrats do not want to have come to fruition. Because in their demand for a House inquiry, a Senate inquiry, an FBI investigation, and now even a special prosecutor, what happens with all these resources unleashed, looking to find culpable parties? What if they really find nothing on Trump, which is what they're gonna find, absolutely zilch. But what if this investigation turns, gasp, toward, now we're understanding as the story is developing, that the Obama administration totally weaponized the NSA, right? The NSA is hoovering up all this data, all these phone calls and texts and voicemails and phone, everything. And then guess what? They're picking out things deliberately to use against their political opponents. That's what they're finding out right now. The New York Post is writing about it. USA Today is writing about it. And I'm telling you, the story is going to blow up in their faces. So, yeah, it started out with, oh, Trump, colluder, hacker of elections. Watergate impeachment may end up being that the Obama administration has most of the explaining to do. It's going to be fun to follow it. You bet I'm going to do it right here, 7 p.m. tomorrow night. I'll be back. See you then. Can't stop, addicted to the shindig. Chop, chop, it says I'm going to win big. Talk Radio 790. KABC.